Sarah Morgan.
Carlos Velado. Mike Fabre. Andrew Reed.
Nicholas Kempeth.
Matt Witter.
Brian Brown. Yeah, so we have sign-in sheet going around. If you haven't signed in, please do. Appreciate homeowners and everybody joining us today for this meeting. I'm going to have Mike start us off with a brief sort of history of the Water District and Meridian Lake Park. Okay, great. And so we also have, we've also dialed in, and I mean, so someone just joined. And we are going to record the session so that it's available online as well. So Mike, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, so we do have you on speakerphone. If you could mute your phone unless you have a question to ask, that'd be great. So again, thank you everyone for coming out. As Brian said, Mike Fabre, district manager. And I'll just give a very brief update. I'm sure probably a lot of you are already aware of all this information, but our district was formed in 1963. The town of Mount Crested Butte was incorporated in 1974. That's sort of the reason we're a special district association. We are not associated with the town by any means, and we are governed by the Special District Association of Colorado, their laws, rules, and regulations, etc. The next kind of step is in 1995, Meridian Lake Park joined the district, was annexed into the Mount Crested Butte Water and Sanitation District. For those of you that have been around, you remember there was lagoons up by the Schaefer House as you entered Meridian Lake Park on the right-hand side. There was an inadequate water treatment plant. During that annexation process, there was a bond was taken out, a new water treatment plant was built, the wastewater collection system is the pipe and all the manholes coming down County Road 811 and comes across right on the Spence line and to the beginning of all of our wastewater plant right up here at Headworks. During that process as well, those were the two big projects that happened. Meridian Lake Park gained the expertise of our operators, kind of the economies of scale of joining our district. The original MOA that we're looking at for this was also signed in 1995 between Meridian Lake Park Corporation and the Mount Crested Butte Water and Sanitation District, and then a second MOA was came online in 2013. Some of the big projects, there's a lot of other details that go into this, but in 2008 there was a pump and pipeline that was built from the toe of the dam back up to the Meridian Lake Park water treatment plant. The most recent projects, as we're well aware of, was the state mandated dam reservoir project in 2016. There was a vertical spillway where all of that water was going through the pump house. We would get 150 CFS going through there. I've heard stories of the walls shaking, the pumps being torn off the wall. That's when they came in. We built the spillway on the side of it. Also increased that water storage. The other one in the 2016 to 2017 was the water treatment plant expansion. And so why we're here today is we've sort of identified, you know, we just want to look at the long-term agreements and look at the sustainability of the district and how we will operate with Meridian Lake Park Corporation in the future. So that's a very brief breakdown. We started looking at this in the beginning of 18. Quickly appeared to be much more complex going forward, and this is in the beginning of 2019 where we brought Raftellis Financial Consultants online to help us evaluate this process. And with that, I will hand it over to Andrew.
My name is Andrew Reeve, and as Mike indicated, we've been retained a couple years before by the district. First, just starting looking at kind of water rates, there's a question about, you know, kind of tiers and overall recovery and level of conservation for the base rates. And the definition of SFE is kind of comparing to other similar communities throughout Colorado. That led to a comprehensive kind of rate and fee study where we start with financial plan. It landed on recommendations for rate adjustments, as well as a change in the water rate structure that was implemented adopted by the district late last year, implemented 19, kind of the first step. And so we had looked out a period of 5 years and evaluated with all the inflows and the fees and some of the capital projects that were coming, how to fund it, and you know, work through cash versus debt financing. As I mentioned earlier, we had a recommendation to modify the water rate structure. And as part of that analysis, you know, the surcharge and Meridian Lake Park is an issue. It came up during the rate study, but it wasn't certainly anything that, you know, come up in a meeting. But we kind of treated it as the surcharge was in place. It was a revenue stream, as there are other fees that we didn't evaluate. Availability service fees, you know, a host of others that, and property tax assessment that the district does assess. Now, as Mike indicated, I presented, I believe it was late September of 18, kind of our recommendations, initial ones, got some feedback from the board. Ultimately, that set of rates is what was implemented in 19. And this question of kind of the historical MLP, sort of the, you know, the history and how it was funded, the surcharge, it remained, and it was something that was coming up in 18. So they had, the district had retained us to kind of dig a little bit deeper into the history, kind of look at, is there a method to evaluate allocating the costs? You know, is there one approach or are there multiple approaches? And so I led the team. Matt Wittern is here. He works within our group more on the communication side. So meetings like this, this is kind of what he lives for. He's not a spreadsheet number guy like myself. I do rate and fee work throughout the Southwest, throughout Colorado. I work with many similar communities, Crested Butte. I'm doing a study for Steamboat, Mount Warner Water currently. I've worked for Salida. I've worked for City and County, Denver, Idaho Springs, you know, largest, some of the smallest, as well as throughout Southwest U.S. Brian Kirsch, who is not here today, he works with me. He was on the team all the way from the initial evaluation in terms of rates and rate structure, led the analysis on the rate study, and led the analysis on the work that we've done as far as the MLP overview. So we're kind of tracking to a document that we had developed, a memo report findings, and it kind of, today's discussion follows through that. As I see that, you know, their handout that is a bit of a synthesis, kind of, you know, more, less wordy version, depiction of kind of the main items that we're going to be talking through today. And as we'll talk, you know, the district intends to post this presentation, the memo, up on the website, as well as the handout, and the recording, I believe, as well. So just kind of dovetailing on, you know, what it was that we were asked to evaluate and what the driver was. Ultimately, as we got our arms around and learned about the 23-year history and whether there's major projects, the MOA, kind of the drivers, you know, some of the details, we proposed a methodology that we believe can be used to help, you know, kind of address the larger question in terms of, you know, is there a debt balance and what that balance may be. And that methodology leads us to the results. You know, ultimately today, you know, and as we evaluate, we've got a range. I mean, there's not a answer. We're dealing with history, we're dealing with historical documents, costs, you know, and I certainly wasn't here in 1995. I actually graduated from high school in 1995. So, that gives you an idea how far back some of this goes. And then the intent here is really initiate discussion. We've identified, it's on the second page of the handout, some potential next steps. We're not really going to, I don't think, resolve everything, you know, and that's not the intent today. But as we're putting this information out, you know, there certainly may be questions, a discussion that happened today, but also, you know, additional discussion, additional things that come up over time.
Andrew?
Yes.
Is everybody able to see that? We had experimented with turning the lights off. It might be a little bit easier to see.
Trying to save time.
Everybody good?
I'm good.
Okay.
So overall, you know, the type of work that I do, you know, we got to start with a goal in mind. and sometimes it's a little open-ended. But in this case, you know, it was really to assess the historical relationship. There had been a lot of discussion, there had been some tracking, there had been some informal kind of review of this over this 22-year period. Certainly the MOA kind of set the stage, and ultimately it was to, as a third party, as an independent body, come in, you know, somebody that deals with rates and utilities, and develop a methodology. And to, you know, it may have been practices that were employed, may have been great, and may have worked real well, but, you know, the intent was, you know, fair and impartial, and that was Brian and I's driver the whole time, was trying to, you know, as best we could, kind of, you know, what we think is fair. We weren't looking to tip the scales either way. It really wasn't a preconceived notion or idea from the forefront, other than this is a difficult issue, we've been wrestling with it, we'd like you to take a look and you know, let us know, report back what you see. So there was a fair amount of historical data that we looked into, historical financial documents, historical accounts, sales records, you know, like anything, further you go back, and you know, some of the records may have been kept in paper, and you know, they just weren't available, or had gotten lost. I believe there was kind of flood and water damage historically, so you know, to some degree, you know, maybe limited. In the ideal world, in a perfect world, we'd be able to look back, we'd have everything available that would allow us to, you know, in hindsight, you know, kind of historically slice things up. So we were a bit limited in some areas, but ultimately, I think what the result was, and the intent was really a path forward. And as this issue's come up, it came up in some of the presentations on rates and fees, but you know, I think, you know, it's kind of necessary to kind of resolve this historical relationship, and the intent, as I understand it, is to try and have a clear path moving forward. And so today is kind of the start of that. And you know, we had talked historically, you know, well, you know, we've changed the surcharge that had been in place historically. You know, is that a way to do it? One-time assessments, or you know, really, you know, that's kind of the easy ones, and then maybe some alternative approaches. But it has been mentioned, and the intent is to, you know, this is the start of that discussion. In terms of the background, I'm not gonna go through as much, you know, detail as Mike did, but certainly started with the MOA, the driver, the MLP, the water and wastewater facilities that were serving that subdivision, really the housing developments, were insufficient. State was requiring MLP customers and the MLPC to do something. And one of the options was to be annexed into the existing district. And what ended up happening was, you know, there was a new water treatment plant that was required to meet regulations, you know, coming down from the state. There was conveyance infrastructure, sewer collection, kind of, you know, additional components, manholes that were established to convey the flows to this plant out here. And there was debt that was issued by kind of the district as a whole to do that. So there were some other provisions, you know, that it was gonna remain physically separate from the district. You know, I don't know the history and all that. We were just sort of reading what the document said. And this idea that the debt that was issued to fund these things, there was a surcharge that was put in place, and the intent there was that it was going to effectively pay back the debt, as I understand it. Certainly in 13 there was an amendment, and you know, cautionary agreement, so it was amended, overall the agreement itself with water storage asset. I've had the opportunity to read historical legal documents. I'm not an attorney, but one of the things that, you know, I kind of just maybe a comment is, you know, 30 years later we pick up an agreement, and there's often a lot of deliberation that went through that, but often the people that were involved in that are no longer there. You know, people move on, retire, just, you know, they kind of pass fade. So there can be a tendency to look at that and you know, say, you know, this wasn't clearly stated. But one of the things often gets lost too is that MLP customers had other options, which would have been kind of going on their own. and, you know, handling, you know, replacing the assets, meaning the state regulations, as many water providers do throughout the state. So I just kind of, that's one of those things I've learned from doing this for over time, is that, like, I can't necessarily go back and understand what those other options are, and to some degree, kind of doesn't matter, but, you know, it's important because, you know, we're, you know, talking about the road that was taken, not necessarily the road that wasn't taken, and often what's lost is, you know, that path may have been, you know, much worse. This choice was made for a reason. So, with this, you know, we had gone in and looked, as I mentioned, on the historical analysis. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier, but there's no perfect answer. We're dealing with a 23-year history, and, you know, if we were dealing with readily available information today, that we'd be able to use, you know, so it's always a little bit danger going backwards. I've had the opportunity to do this a couple of times. And, you know, you can't get in the minds, you can't make those sort of present decisions. But as imperfect as it is, you know, that I think ultimately we went through as a fair a process. And so as we look back historically, both on cost data as well as customer data, our first step was to define what it was that we were after. So in general, there was three buckets. There were district only, as Brian and I characterized them, is costs that do not benefit those customers within the MLP sub-district. So if you think about the water treatment plant facility assets, MLP customers are served by a separate water treatment plant facility. The customers outside of MLP are served by a different one. So there are district-only costs, if you will. There are also those that benefit the sub-district-only, again, the treatment plant, or the interceptor, that conveyance line that comes to the district. And then there's a whole lot of shared costs, things like, you know, on the capital side, this building, wastewater treatment plant, that's shared. There's sort of common vehicles, you know, kind of the maintenance equipment, and then when we get on the operating side, you know, that those same types of kind of buckets as best we can sort of organize and split things. There had been historical tracking, as you will see in terms of the report in the document, to kind of track some of these. And so we didn't necessarily start from scratch with all this. The CAFRs, the audited financial documents, delved into both capital and operating to some level. But there were, you know, areas where we had to identify these shared through historical assets or overall the financial data. So we've got the buckets, and then now it's a question of, well, how do we apportion them between district and those customers within the MLP sub-district? Well, what emerged were three kind of practical options, and I'm going to talk about in a minute kind of weighing those, but it's customer accounts, the single-family residential equivalents, or volumes or flows. So, you know, if we use accounts, well, and we did accounts across the board, that would give us one answer. There are some categories that I don't think accounts are really even appropriate as a proxy. And so that kind of influenced the sort of range of the options. And, you know, flows is another one on, you know, kind of the other end. Well, there's some things where I think that makes a lot of sense, but there's others where I don't think it really applies. So ultimately, as we define the buckets, we've got the proxies, you know, gave us the method to determine, allocate, attribute the cost. Really, this goes into the shared cost because this is binary. You know, this is sort of outside of the analysis, and these were kind of district, sub-district only, or direct costs. So this was really around the shared cost that this was even a question. Yes?
Can you explain what an SFP is real quick, just to make sure everyone understands what that is?
I was waiting for this table, and it's in the handout, but it's historically how the district has defined customers. So the definition is sort of paraphrased up here, but it's 2,000 square feet, up to one kitchen, three bedrooms, and two baths. And where this ends up being real important is we've got, you know, for many residential residences, they've got one account and then one SFE. The distinction and the difference comes in for the larger, you know, hotel, condos down there, where maybe one account and there's hundreds of SFEs. And so that's where the one goes to many. But it's an important definition because it's certainly something that has existed, and the district uses that in terms of the base charge, as well as one-time link investment assessments.
So just to further elaborate, if you have more than two bathrooms, your home is more than one SFE, but it might not be two, it might be one and a half or something like that.
You seem to indicate that water production flow, you didn't feel that that was a good way of assessing. I'm kind of curious why. It would seem that water flow would be, without knowing more detail, it seems perfect.
Wait for the more detail. It's
coming. Okay.
It's an option. And some of those, I think it works pretty well. Before I get there, and that'll be in the next couple slides, is that then, you know, we went through the tools that we have. We've got fixed asset records, audited financials. These are things that are issued each year, you know, during the year, shortly thereafter. Historical accounts, SFEs, and flows. And some of these we had a little better information on throughout the 23-year period. Others we didn't. Accounts, we had real good information. But, you know, this relationship between accounts and SFEs, I think, highlights where that the account may not be the best proxy for all the costs. There was also historical tracking of the revenues in terms of the surcharge or the rate revenue. You know, MLP customers were identified. So, you know, that tap fees, you know, the some of the other availability service fee revenues that were also incorporated within our overall analysis. So just to kind of go back in terms of, you know, these three choices for proxies, if we looked at kind of this average over this 23-year period, if we were to use accounts as the proxy for everything, 13% of the accounts are within the MLP area. The remaining 87% are within the other parts of the district. When we look at SFEs, you know, we pick up the weighting because of, you know, the proportional one-to-one, one-to-multiple SFEs is much more common in kind of the district side or outside of the MLP. So that ends up being 7% within the MLP area, 93% within the district. And then water production is about 5%. And a little bit higher than that in terms of that relationship as well. So we've got those same percentages here, and as I flash forward in terms of, you know, the overall kind of definition, mention this, that, you know, this is pretty straightforward in terms of account accounts historically tracked. It's pretty easy to get your arms around. The SFE, you know, it starts to get a little more variable. Sarah indicated, you know, fractional SFEs, you know, if you get above that, then you're assigned, you know, a fraction, and some of those can be certainly much more than one, the larger accounts, non-residential accounts. And then in terms of water production, the actual flow. So we had that production records in MLP plant versus our other water treatment plant. So when we get into accounts, you know, it's a trade-off. There's advantages. I mean, it's certainly, it's easily available, but I think in cases it overstates MLP's customers' cost allocation. That 13% it understates that idea of larger customers, whether it's volumes or potential demand. You know, the folks that come here to enjoy this ski resort in the wintertime, you know, they're jamming into the condos, and so that may be one where there's a downside using it. The SFE, it's like a goosed up account. It's a more equivalent basis to kind of evaluate these. It's not as much flow driven, but it's based on these, you know, fixtures, these potential demands. And much of the district infrastructure, peak, it's about peak water treatment plant capacity. So whether someone down the street here or Meridian Lake Park is residing in the residence year round, or whether it's 1 month out of the year, the pipes need to have that peak capacity. The treatment plant needs to have that peak capacity. And so, in only a wastewater treatment plant, there's a peak capacity there as well. So this provides a little better kind of, what, you know, maybe a little more equitable sharing between the different users across. If we're just dealing with single family residential of similar sizes, then the accounts and the SFEs really wouldn't be that much different. But, you know, as is highlighted here, the disadvantage, the potential demand doesn't necessarily drive, doesn't always drive actual demand. So when we get into things like operating costs of the treatment plant, where volumes, chemicals, you know, electricity tends to be a bigger driver there, or at least a bigger variable, that's a case where, you know, that kind of downside of using that. And then when it came to water production, we had 6 years to work with. And so, you know, kind of raising the question, well, you know, water production, why don't we use that for everything? Well, there's two where I don't think that it makes as much sense. One, and it's sort of a footnote that we just don't have as long of a period. But I think more importantly is there's certain costs where I don't think that's the best driver. We're talking about capital of plant. I think, you know, that makes no sense. But when we're talking about the customer, you know, administrative in general, all that, your volumes aren't going to necessarily dictate the fact that, you know, you need operators with license and the management and the kind of fixed expenses. That's going to be more based on size of the facilities and ones where I think these two measures do a better job. And I guess all in the kind of wastewater usage aspect is water production volume. So it's, again, it's another bit of a dig. In a perfect world, we would have better information here overall. So as we broke things into the buckets, you know, we got on the capital side, one, you know, versus the other, or those shared costs. And then in terms of the operating costs, there was, you know, the sort of general administrative, the function of running the district, managing the district, operating the facilities, having meetings like this, doing the, you know, master plan studies, studies that, you know, my firm was engaged to do in terms of rate study, get the bills out, you know, read the meters, all that kind of stuff is covered here. And then we've got operating and both the water and the wastewater side. So in terms of the three options, you know, it's my opinion that, and Raftel's opinion, that when we get to general and admin, accounts or SFEs, those are the two options that make the most sense. I don't think flows is a good proxy here. And when it comes to operating, you notice that both of them are SFE or flow. And I don't think accounts make as much sense here. And so of the three, we kind of whittled it down to a range or two. Same thing on the shared side. When it comes to capital, whether it's, you know, kind of actual demands, measured flows, or, you know, we've got to size stuff. So even if it's not coming, you know, those weekends, those weeks out of the year when we are at capacity, that's really what sizes the facility. On the water side, that can sometimes manifest itself. You can get outdoor water use, irrigation demands, but it also can come in other periods of time. And certainly the wastewater side, that's where spring ends up being the constraint for the plant and interceptors, as we combine users as well as the flow. So this is a fairly you know, there's a lot going on with this table. So I want to walk through it a bit. But it kind of goes hand in hand with the previous table. We've got the cost category on the left side. Start with operating, we go to capital. The debt that was issued back in 1996. And additional debt that, you know, has been issued for shared facilities. And then we get into the revenue side, you know, and certainly can talk a bit about that, but that kind of total. This cost is, if we were to run the total of all these, it would get $11,505,072 as the sort of low side, using low categories across the board. Using high categories across the board, and by high, this is, you know, highest dollar amount. So accounts, if you remember, 13% versus SFEs, 7%. 7 versus 5 and change. And again, as you run this down, it would total 12,969. There's a little bit why these revenues aren't the same is how we deal with some of the miscellaneous kind of non-rate revenues and interest. There's a little bit of a range here, so there's a little bit of a movement. I'd consider this, you know, $95,000 in terms of, I'd consider this the same in terms of the dollars we're looking at, the history. So as we go through, generally administrative, you know, this range we're looking at to allocate, you know, in terms of the cost side, I mean, then this ends up being a bit of math. So the historical cost going back the 23-year period, it 7% versus 13, 900,000 to a high of 1.6 million. And, you know, as you work through this,